We are a body of Christ that is united in the Spirit. The Catechism says, what the soul is to the human body, the Holy Spirit is to the body of Christ, which is the Church. So my therapist told me that I have to stop fixating on revenge. We'll see about that. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 268. So great to be back with you. If it's your first time listening, I like to start every episode with a dad joke to give you a little chuckle. I hope it brings joy to your day, and I hope that you will rate and review this podcast because it helps other people find it. If you've enjoyed it, they might as well. And the best way to share this content with other people is by word of mouth. And if you feel so inclined to do it on social media, please tag us at ManaFoodForThought on Instagram especially. We can find all of our tags, ways to get in touch with us, and all of our content on the website ManaFoodForThought.com or ManaFFT.com. That's M-A-N-N-A-F-F-T.com. And while you're there, click on the subscribe button for as little as $1 a month. And if you feel so inclined, you can click on the give button. And that will take you to our Patreon page where you can sign up to support this podcast financially for as little as $1 a month, and you get access to exclusive content and perks, and my eternal thanks for all of our patrons. So thank you for your first-time listener, long-time listener. Great to have you back or here for the first time. Let's get into our joy, junk, and Jesus. So my joy for this week is that my son turns 5 this Wednesday. So after you are listening to this, he will be 5 years old, which is wild. It's crazy. It's just, I can't believe how fast he's grown up. And, all the unsolicited parenting advice where everyone's like, it's just going to keep getting faster, which, you know, I can't stand. But it is true that it goes by very quickly. So I'm just really cherishing this time. It's a really fun age. My junk is that. So this past weekend, I decided to take the two older kids to Chuck E. Cheese for a little birthday celebration for Levi, because that's what he really wanted to do for his birthday. But we couldn't work it out with our schedules to have a party there because I'm going to be leaving for a conference and there's just a bunch of stuff going on at school. All the evenings are booked with the last end of the year ministry stuff before Pentecost. So it wasn't going to work. So I've taken him to Chuck E. Cheese once before. We went there right when it opened. Nobody was there. There were people going around sanitizing everything. It was amazing. I was like, this is great. I love Chuck E. Cheese because it's not my memory of it being gross and overrun with children. Well, this weekend, I brought my two older kids and we pull up at the same time, right when it opens, same day of the week, 10 a.m., 5 birthday parties starting at the beginning of the day. 5 separate birthday parties starting. It was pure chaos. I mean, it was just, I don't even know if I would call it junk because it turned into this like hilarious, like how did this happen kind of scenario, but it was nuts. But the kids still had a great time. I managed to survive and it was great. So, you know, all junk can be turned into joy in some way or another. And my Jesus moment over the past week was we had some opportunities to say farewell to our pastor, who's not leaving yet, but for us as a staff to really just spend some time with him and celebrate and really prayerfully lead him off and continue to pray for our parish as we welcome a new pastor. And so I don't know, I just really feel like the Lord is doing something in this season, doing something exciting, really inviting us as a staff and us as a parish to be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, shifting us in a new direction, because a lot of what we've been doing is great, and I know more great is to come, but it'll be a different direction of great. And so, because there'll be different gifts and a different leadership style and all of that. So I know I'm just excited to see where that goes. So that's what's going on with me. Love to hear what's going on with you and to keep you in prayer. So please let me know. But let's get into our episode. We're looking at the second reading for this upcoming Sunday, which is Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday was a pre-existing Jewish feast all the way back in the time of Moses. You can read about it in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in Leviticus and Exodus, when they specify. It's also called the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of First Fruits, where you would offer the first of your harvest to the Lord. It became later associated with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And so a new teaching, a new authority, a bearing of fruit No wonder why the Holy Spirit decided to descend on Pentecost Sunday, because it is essentially reminding us of the new truth and law of Jesus Christ and bearing the new fruits of the Spirit in the early church and continuing to this day. And so we're celebrating this great feast, the end of the Easter season, on this Pentecost Sunday. So our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3b to 7 and verses 12 to 13. So we're back in 1 Corinthians. We were in it a little while ago. A reminder, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, which was considered the Las Vegas of its day, a very popular epicenter of pagan worship, of illicit secular practices of worship and of other, you know, social norms. And the church is trying to get a foothold there. And as it's growing, there is a divided community among Jews and Gentiles, but also, are they to retain their traditions? How do they root out some of these secular and sinful lifestyles from the church? And how do they exist together? And we're in this part of 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, which talks about the diversity of spiritual gifts and how all those gifts are needed to make up the body of Christ. And so we're at the beginning of that section, where Paul is writing to this community, prompting them to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and recognize the giftedness in one another. So this is what Paul writes. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This reminds me of back in my Boy Scout days. Now, when you're learning about survival training in Boy Scouts, I mean, this always you have to factor in your environment and the sort of terrain, habitat, weather conditions you're in. But generally, they say, you know, you have to prioritize your list of things. The number one non-negotiable resource that you need in almost every situation to find first or to create first is not water, it's not food, it's not shelter, it is fire. Because fire is needed to purify whatever water source you find. Fire is needed to cook whatever food source you find to make sure that you don't get sick from either that unpurified water or uncooked food. And fire is meant to help warm you in whatever shelter you build. It doesn't matter if you build a shelter to preserve you from the elements. It's not going to be foolproof to preserve you from the temperature outside. And temperatures drop in very cold climates and incredibly warm climates like the desert to very, very low in the nighttime. And so if you don't have fire to warm you, you'll be in danger. And lastly, fire also wards off predators and bugs. And so you'll prevent yourself from being overrun with insect bites or predators if you have fire to scare them off. And so it is the number one non-negotiable resource in virtually any climate. There may be certain circumstances where you might need to prioritize something else first, but generally you can get by waiting to have a little bit of water or food to put the effort into fire in order to get you all of those other things. Especially if you're in a wet climate, you can dry your clothes, you know, you can smoke and preserve things, you can move fire from place to place. It's non-negotiable. And so I'm reminded of that because of this passage. Not only is fire a predominant symbol of the Holy Spirit, but pay attention to how this passage starts. Paul writes, brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's saying that having a real and authentic relationship with Jesus is not possible without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your number one non-negotiable resource and tool in your life of discipleship. I want you to imagine trying to communicate with someone without any form of contact or language. Like, you can still acknowledge the other person exists. They might be out there somewhere, but I can't get in contact with them. We don't have a common language. But in order for me to be in relationship with them, and then to surrender and trust in that person to the point where I can call upon them, that requires that other component of that communication, that relationship. And so the same thing is true of Jesus. I can know a lot of information about Jesus, and he can be up in the clouds or over there or in a book, but if I don't have a relationship with him, then I'm not really communicating. And that relationship is impossible without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is like that form of communication. It's that way in which we can claim that Jesus is Lord. I can know a lot about him. I can think he's a great teacher. I can know a lot of information about what he said. But in order to surrender and trust to the point where I can call him Lord, that requires the work of the Holy Spirit in us. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if we can say that, that means that the Holy Spirit is already at work in us. Holy Spirit's already present in and around us by virtue of the fact that we're made in the image and likeness of God, but also that we can proclaim belief in Jesus Christ. So even if you don't have that belief yet, if you are made in the image and likeness of God, which every single person who's ever been created is, the Holy Spirit is already in some way at work in and around us. But it is infused, the Holy Spirit, is infused in us through baptism, where we receive the Holy Spirit and completed in confirmation, where the fullness of the Spirit comes upon us so that we can live as disciples who spread and defend the faith in word and action. That is what the Holy Spirit allows us to do. The church document, Redemptoris Missio, says in section 21, it says that the Holy Spirit is the principal agent of the church's mission. Meaning the church cannot do what the church was designed to do. It cannot carry on the mission of Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. And we all play a role in that. So Paul here, he's talking about there's a diversity of gifts, but there's unity in the Spirit. You know, the Catechism says that the principle of every vital and truly saving action in each part of the body is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the principle of every vital and truly saving action in each part of the body. That each gift of the Holy Spirit is given for some benefit, not for our personal glory, but for us to build up the church and help fulfill the church's mission. That is what we are called to do. It says in Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13, talks about the Holy Spirit giving the gifts of and the appointments of people as apostles and prophets and teachers. Why? It says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Everything that we need in order to do what Jesus wanted us to do as church, everything that we need in order for us to follow him as his disciples comes to us through the Holy Spirit. It was St. Catherine of Siena who said, "Be who God meant you to be and you will set the world on fire." That means that our unique gifts are meant to glorify God and serve others. And those gifts are brought out of us. They are made abundant, made supernaturally fruitful by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And yes, we've talked before about the distinction between natural gifts and charisms of the Holy Spirit. But charisms of the Holy Spirit usually are signified by things that we have a natural inclination for. And then when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, they are unlocked and become even more abundantly fruitful. But no matter what your gifts are, no matter what you're good at, you have a role in fulfilling this mission of the church. You have a role in the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit can and will work through you if you let him. But so often, so many of us want to have other gifts. So I want to be like that person who can really teach about the faith, or that person who really knows the Bible. I want to be like that person who has a beautiful voice and praises God, or that person who writes about theology so beautifully, or that person who teaches so well, or who has so much knowledge, or is such a good encourager and counsels other people. And those are all great gifts, but there are a myriad of others that are needed to glorify God. Having the gifts of mercy, service, and giving to the poor, the gifts of voluntary poverty, the gifts of generosity, to be able to do that work of providing for the needs of our brothers and sisters that Jesus commanded. The background needs of the church, the administrative needs, the needs of those who empower others and delegate to others so that they can use the diversity of gifts that we have available in our community to bring about people knowing Jesus, to bring about encounters with him. To achieve the mission of the church, we need all kinds and all gifts. No one is disqualified from that. The Holy Spirit can and will and is at work in every person. We just have to get out of the way. We just have to allow the Spirit to work. That's why we're called the body of Christ, that just as a body has many parts, we are united in our function to continue to thrive and survive in cooperation with one another. Just like a machine, all of the parts need to be working in tandem, and if one gear gets shifted out of place, the whole machine can seize up. You have a car that has hundreds of different parts and components, but if one belt breaks, or one gasket blows, are there gaskets in cars? I don't know. Or one light goes on the dashboard, that means something is awry and the car is not going to function properly as a whole. The same thing is true for the church. We need everyone's gifts, and everyone's gifts are needed and valued and important. We are a body of Christ that is united in the Spirit. The Catechism says, what the soul is to the human body, the Holy Spirit is to the body of Christ, which is the church. Our body would have no life. It would not be animated without our soul. And the same thing is true of the church. The church would have no life. It would not be animated without the Holy Spirit. And that happens through us. The church is not four walls or buildings or St. Peter's Basilica or any one individual. It is all of us collectively answering the call of our baptism and operating out of the Holy Spirit to use our gifts to spread the good news to all nations, to every corner of the earth, and to glorify God in all that we do. In Romans 12, it says, for as in one body we have many members, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. St. Augustine put it beautifully. He said that you are the body of Christ. In you and through you, the work of the incarnation must go forward. The entire reason that Jesus came, became man, was to die for our sins so that the good news of salvation could be proclaimed. And we have a role in that proclamation. He is not here walking the earth like he was 2,000 years ago. He's still present, yes, in a more mystical, supernatural, and sacramental way. And he is present in the faces of our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, of the poor, of the marginalized, of everyone. And yet he is present in us, compelling us to obey his Holy Spirit and to continue his work. And that is a great gift. That's a beautiful reality that we need to remember and that we need to invite the Holy Spirit to bring about within us. Maybe you have obstacles. Maybe those obstacles are your own self-doubt, your own worry, your own anxiety about not being good enough. Maybe your own sin, your own past, the things you think disqualify you. And I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, God wants to do great things in you. He wants you to be a saint. He wants those incredible things that we read about in the lives of the saints to happen through you, not for your glory, but so that other people will know him. Just like the stories of saints have inspired us and countless others throughout generations, so can we, in the works that the Holy Spirit does in and through us, inspire others. So brothers and sisters, recognize you cannot have a relationship with the Lord without the Holy Spirit. You cannot live a life of purpose, meaning, joy, and fulfillment without the Holy Spirit. You cannot use your gifts abundantly, supernaturally, and wholeheartedly without the Holy Spirit. You cannot have life or survive spiritually without the Holy Spirit. It is the number one non-negotiable resource in our spiritual survival, because without him, we cannot even say that Jesus is Lord. We cannot do the bare minimum. And yet the Holy Spirit, when we do have him, wants to do so much more than that. And so I pray that you answer that call. You invite the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in your life today simply by saying the prayer, come Holy Spirit, come animate me, direct me where you will, show me the path that the Lord has for me. That is all I have for you, my brothers and sisters. Until next time, I will see you in the Eucharist. God bless.